Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so good to be with you all once again, and just to be able to share God's word with you. I look forward to this time. And if you haven't gotten the message already, God is our source and our sufficiency. He is our strength, and He is our all in all. And so I appreciate so much the deans being here, and you all didn't know we were going to be here. We didn't know you were going to be here, so it's a blessing. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed that worship very much, and it was good to see John on the drums. John, I didn't know you could play the drums, so I was like, that was a new talent, John. And I love clapping and worship and all, but my family gives me a hard time because I clap on the offbeat. I'm one of those kind of guys, you know. So I'm like embarrassed to even clap. So I don't know. So anyway, but it's so good to see all of you. So good to be with you. And glad to be here in Sam's stead. You know, oftentimes Sam is here, and it's always good to have Sam, the pastor, here and his family. But I'm glad that he gets a break and doesn't have to be here today. Doesn't feel like he has to be here to keep track of me or anything like that. So that's a blessing, too. So anyway, and great to have my family here. I'm so glad they could be here, too. So, what you have in your bulletin there, the vital importance of healthy hope, is basically, that's about as good as a manuscript as I get. So I've never been one to manuscript my messages. A lot of people do that. And I've always wanted to do that, and I've always aspired to do that, but I just struggle to do that. So anyway, if I follow along with that, hopefully I will. If I don't, you'll have me. If not, you'll have what I was planning to say, and today you'll get what I'm going to say. So I don't know. But one of the things I do want to, and I have so much scripture in mind too, and I had this thought this week that the Word of God is, as Paul says, we see through a glass darkly or dimly, or some translations have mirror there, and the Bible is, people talk about the Bible as a mirror. This week I had this thought that, you know, the Bible for me, I think, as I've read it since high school days and just soaked it in, I think my passion for Scripture has been because I see the Bible not just as a mirror reflecting me back in, you know, reflecting my sin or whatever, it's speaking to me so self-consciously, but I see it as a window. I see it as a window through which we see God, you know, and we see God at work, and we see His kingdom, and we see how vast and big and awesome God is. And so I see it both as a mirror and as a window. So I share that with you to help you to see that, as I share maybe a lot of Scripture today, I don't know, that you will understand my passion for Scripture is it's not just a mirror for us to kind of navel gaze, you know, but it's hopefully a Scripture to call your attention to the vastness of God's greatness, His glory, His power, His passion, and His love for us. All right? So, let's pray. That's probably the best thing we can do. And because I always need help when I come to these moments to make sure I say whatever the Lord would have me say. So let's pray. Gracious God, I do thank You for this sweet, sweet fellowship that, you know, is near and dear to our hearts. And Father, we just pray Your blessing on Faith Bible today. And I pray Your blessing on the words of my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in Your sight, Lord. Let all of our words and hearts be pleasing in Your sight, Lord. We know we've enjoyed great worship already. We know that our hearts are full of praise in many ways, but we know that there's oftentimes things that come with us today that are anxiety-producing or stress-inducing. And so, Lord, we just want to be delivered from any hindrance in our hearing Your word and receiving Your word. And so, Lord, please let me be out of the way. Don't let me get in the way. And don't let anything going on in our hearts and minds getting in the way of hearing what Your word would speak to us today. What You would say to us by Your holy, holy Spirit. Father, we pray for Your Spirit to just do its work in our lives. And we pray that especially for anyone here today who may not really know You, who may not really experience You in truth and love. And so I pray, Lord, that You would just open that person's heart to You. And let them receive from You what they need today. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so the vital importance of a healthy hope. I was remembering this week that the last time I was here, I think I spoke from Philippians. I don't expect anyone to remember that. I struggled to remember that. I wasn't really worried about it. I wasn't, you know, about the only thing I was concerned about is that I not repeat the same sermon, you know. But I was thinking, well, what did I speak on last time? I remembered it was from Paul, and it was from Philippians, I think. And Paul talks about, and I think it was really on humility and contentment and those kind of things. Which is one of those struggles, you know, that Paul seemed to press on and get through. You know, he talks about, I know what it is to have a lot and have a little, and I know the secret of contentment, I think is what I was really talking about. And it's that elusive secret of contentment that I'm still pressing into, all right? And so it's kind of funny that I ended up where I did for the message today. You know, I was a regular pastor, as many of you know, and as a pastor, I always tried to preach through a book of the Bible, you know, so that I could just kind of, each Sunday could build on the other Sunday, you know. So when I'm not preaching regularly, you know, it's kind of tough to just kind of pick a text and go with it. So I did talk to Sam and John, and just like, you know, where should I go? Is this okay? Because this is what God has been saying to me. And so I come to you today with what the Lord's put on my heart and what he's been doing in my life. So the vital importance of a healthy hope. I'm also now a hospice chaplain, and some of you know that. And one of the things as a hospice chaplain we have to do is obviously give people some hope. Now, obviously, the ultimate hope is in Christ. But I believe people can put their hope in God all day long. And that was the purpose in having Psalm 25. I think it says, wait on the Lord all day long. But there is reference to the fact that we can put our hope in God all day long. You know, we just can. God is our hope ultimately, but he is our hope here and now. And by the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us, we experience Christ in us, Paul says, the hope of glory, right? Christ in us, the hope of glory. What does that mean? Because our body, Paul says, is mortal. And I think, and I've worked on this more this week, that really, I think what Paul's saying is our mortal flesh, which is going to die. And he says, you know, as our outward body fades away, our inner man's being renewed every day. Okay? So I think what it is this: it's the Holy Spirit that comes in to live in our hearts and lives through faith in Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that is drawing us to the heavenly kingdom or the heavenly vision, if you will. You know, Paul says in Acts, he says, I did not disregard the heavenly vision, you know, that when Christ appeared to him on the Damascus Road. So it is this drawing us to the kingdom, but it's also drawing us up to the kingdom. All right. For years, I thought of, you know, God's kingdom is way out there, future oriented. And I thought hope was all about the future. You know, our hope is in the future and it's pie in the sky by and by, you know, kind of stuff, you know. But the Bible does indicate there's a future kingdom. Obviously, Christ is coming again. We're waiting for him to return. And Paul's going to talk about that in 1 Timothy. But there's also a present reality to the kingdom. It's a present reality. And think with me, if you're familiar with your Bible, in John's gospel, John writes this way, and he writes about it in his letters too. He says, there's a time coming, but now is. Now is. You know, there's a time coming, but now it is. Here. It's here. And that's the reality I want us to get today. It's not just hope in the future. It's hope right now. Because God is present by the Holy Spirit in us, and he's also at work in our world. So that should give us all the hope we need, right? That really should. And yet we put our hope in so many other things, don't we? And I've realized that, okay? So that's why I've entitled this The Vital Importance of a Healthy Hope. What does it mean to have a healthy hope, okay? I think that is so critical. And that's why I'm trying to help you understand what I mean by hope. It's a big word. It's a word we think about and use and we depend on. But I think we need to think about it deeper than we do, than just an everyday way of saying, yeah, you know, I hope this will happen. I hope that'll happen. But so let's look at some ways that we put our hope in other things. And I talk about, you know, so what's wrong with the health and wealth gospel? Why is it so appealing? I'm not trying to make this all about the health and wealth gospel and all like that. But I realized years ago that I value my health about as much as anything else. You know, I really do. Wealth has never been something I've really craved and coveted, I don't think. But I value my health in a great way, and I hope I don't take it for granted. And I'm certainly not that healthy. I'm well fed, you know. When I was playing golf in my younger days, there was an article. I'm sorry for this aside. It just reminds me. It's one of those things you just never forget. The sports writer wrote about my older brother, who's tall and thin like Weston. And he said, Barry's built like a two iron. Kevin has the well fed look. And my family's probably never heard that. I don't know. But, you know, Barry's built like a two iron. Kevin has the well-fed look. So I still have the well-fed look. All right? So it's just some of it's genetic. You can't do anything about it, I guess, right? But anyway, I value my health, you know? And so health and wealth are ultimate values. And so no wonder the health and wealth gospel or the health and wealth teaching is so popular and so tempting to go down that road. But I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't. Over and over again, the Bible warns against putting your faith in wealth. And I think also our health. Because our health, I see it in hospice, I see it in all of our mortal bodies failing. We can't put our faith in our health either. And if we can't put our faith in our health and our wealth, where do we put our faith? We put it in God. Because our health fails, our wealth fails, all of these things in life fail. You know, there's nothing that's going to last but God and our relationships and the things of God that really, really matter. So let's see what we put our faith in and what do we put our hope in. Okay, before we get there, let me give a scripture. Let's go to 1 Timothy because that is where we need to be today. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to go there, start there, and then we'll jump to chapter 6 because I don't want to keep you too long. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's page 1001 in my Bible, but I don't know where it is in your Bible. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right. If you can find that, or if you can't, just listen. That's fine. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Right there in verse 1, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, Paul tells us Christ is our hope. The New Living Translation there, I think, says Christ who gives us hope. All right, either way, he is our hope. He gives us hope. Our hope comes from him. Christ in us, as Paul says, the hope of glory. So right there at the beginning, you know what this is about. It's about hope. And where is your hope? And who do we hope in? And what do we hope in? To Timothy, my true son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in verse 3 through 5 is as far as I'm going to go here. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this instruction, some translations say command here in the NIV, is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The goal of all this, the goal of this command, the goal of this instruction is love. So right in these first five verses, you have what Paul's theme of theology or his understanding of theology is faith, hope, and love, you know. But he's wanting us to understand the vital importance of the hope that we have, the hope that we have in Christ. So our health and wealth are ultimate values for most of us, and it's where we often put our hope. But where is our hope day in and day out? Okay, think with me for a moment. Where is your hope day in and day out? I was reading recently about, you know, how we put our hope in the next email or the next phone call or the next, you know, meal, right? You know, what's for lunch today? I don't know what's for lunch today. Somebody knows what's for lunch today. I don't know. You know, that's one of the big questions in our house. What's for dinner? You know, what's the next thing? What's the next meal? All right. Where else do we put our hope? Well, there's, you know, the economy or, you know, the next paycheck. the next house, the next car, college, career, spouse, job, you know, your health, retirement, next vacation. You know, there's lots of things that we can put our hope in. I had a situation, interesting, you know, we were expecting a check, or, you know, always thinking, maybe somebody's going to send us something in the mail, you know. And I look at the mail a lot. I'm waiting for the mailman. And so the other week, you know, I'm like, the mailman comes and he brings something to our, I'm sitting there on the front porch. Very odd kind of thing happened. And it was, I was like, okay, Kevin, where is your hope? All right. And so I got this sermon preached to me before I'm preaching it to you. And so I just jokingly said to the mailman, you got a nice check in there for us? And instead, he had a package, and it was my wife's Bible that was sent from where? Sutton and Kayla. We left. We were down in Roanoke the other weekend, and for their worship service, and Sutton was leading worship, and Heather left her Bible. And I was joking about the check in the mail, but I was convicted when it was a Bible. I was like, okay, Lord, you know, I get it. You know, I don't need to just be looking for a check in the mail. I got you, you know, I got you. And so we do this, folks. We do it all the time. Is there anything I'm leaving out here? I'm sure I am. Can any of you tell me what you put your hope in? Just give me examples. I'm not asking you to confess. Anybody? All right. What else? What else do we put our hope in?
Electricity.
Yeah. What else?
Our work
is a big one.
Relationships, he said.
People. We put our hope in people, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. And that can be good and that can be bad, you know. We have to be careful where our ultimate hope is, you know. Anything else?
Bank account,
yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, I love the hymn, and I didn't pick out hymns or anything. Y'all did wonderful. I love the music. And in fact, I see we've got something picked out for something before communion. If not, I was going to suggest we do that Thanksgiving thing, you know, that was good. But you got something else picked out. You and the Lord worked that out. And so don't let me sway that. But I love the reminder, you know, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, you know. I dare not trust what? Trust the sweetest frame. I guess that's our body, the sweetest frame, right? But wholly lean on Jesus' name, you know. And Paul says, the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world, you know. So it's the cross that we really, you know, we don't put our faith in the cross. But it's the reminder for us that our hope is not in this life. It's not in this world. It's not in money, things, people, or anything. It's in the God who came and died on this cross for our sin and was raised gloriously that gives us the hope, that sends the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to remind us that this world is not our hope. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that's the gospel. There you go. So a healthy hope. A healthy hope. So let's go to chapter 6, all right? And I'll try to move a little quicker, all right? Chapter 6. Here we are again. If anyone, verse 3. We'll start with verse 3 because here it is. It came up in chapter 1, verse 1. Don't let these false teachers continue. And it makes you wonder if these false teachers didn't have something to do with health and wealth, right? It says, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who've been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. How many times do we hear that? Yeah, you know, we even hear that in our own churches. You know, be God and be good, and God will bless you. You know, do the right thing, and God will honor you. You know, God will take care of you. So, you know, yes, I'm here to tell you, God does care about your health and wealth, okay? He doesn't, we're not Platonists, we're not dualists, and you know, that the body and matter is evil, and that, you know, it's all spiritual that really matters. That's not what I'm teaching, that's not what I'm preaching, that's not what the Bible teaches. God created the physical world. He cares about it, very much so. But His plan is an ultimate recreation, redemption. Paul says we're looking for the redemption of our body. We're looking for the new creation. The whole creation's groaning and travailing. It's like labor pains that we're going through in this life, all right? And so God cares about this world. Don't get me wrong here. But He doesn't want our ultimate faith to be in anything that is going to rob us of the truth that God cares and God provides and God loves us. We don't want to be robbed of the truth, do we? And we can become robbed of the truth, can't we? When we put our hope in this world and we put our hope in finances or bank accounts or whatever we were talking about. Whatever you put your hope in that isn't ultimately God, or isn't ultimately related to God, that's where thanksgiving becomes so important. Because as we give God thanks for all things, the good things, and sometimes, you know, Job, you know, if you look back, it was Job, well, I'm getting ahead of myself because this is right here in this passage, all right? So let me go a little further. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Okay, that's the reference really to, and if I had time, we'd go back and we'd look at Job and we'd look at Ecclesiastes, because that's where that comes from. You remember what Job said? First chapter of Job, when he loses everything, he says, "Naked I came into this world, naked I'm going to go." You know, and he says, "I'm going to still trust God. I'm going to still trust God. Even though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." Okay? And also in Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 5, you know, Solomon, wise old Solomon, basically says the same thing. We brought nothing into this world. We ain't taking anything with us. And I know that's an old saying. We've all heard it. But we need to let that soak in. We need to let that soak in about where our hope really is. All right? So he said, people who want to get rich, if we have food and clothing or covering, we will be content with that. Wow, I could spend a long time there. How contented are we just with food and covering, clothing, housing, whatever? Okay, I think it's covering. Some of you may know that it implies maybe shelter. Okay, but can we be content with that? That's a whole nother sermon. So that's kind of what I'm getting at, but that's not where I want to focus. Okay, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then Paul tells Timothy here, but you, Timothy, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything. Again, God is this giver of life for us. And of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot. What is this command? I think it goes back to chapter 1. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, sincere faith, good conscience. Okay? So don't get hung up that he's saying keep the commandments or something here. It's keep the truth. Keep the instruction I've given you, Timothy, without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever and ever. Amen. Now, Paul sounds like he's ending his sermon here, ending his message here, doesn't he? Paul loves to throw in a doxology. By the way, I was going to take you to chapter 1. He does it in chapter 1, too. He loves to throw in a doxology in the midst of his teaching. And I think that's this up and down thing that I want you to understand. That it's not just pie in the sky by and by. It is. He is right now King of kings, Lord of lords. He dwells in unapproachable light that no one sees or can see, can't even fathom. He alone possesses immortality. He alone is God. He's the giver of all things. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. So we don't need to wait for the pie and sky by and by. Right? Okay? And then lastly, we're going to skip the verses and then we'll go back to them. Lastly, verse 20. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. So Paul's given a strong warning here to Timothy. And in the midst of all this ending, he has three verses that really are the focus. And sorry, it's taken me so long to get there. But I wanted you to see the importance of these three verses, because they come sandwiched right in the middle of all this powerful teaching about Timothy. Guard this stuff, you know. Don't forget it. Jesus is in charge here. And so verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Folks, these are some great verses. These are some great verses that should teach us to not put our faith in uncertain things. Not put our hope in this life, but to put our hope in God. Because these things are so unreliable. Anything we've, you know, whether it's your phone that acts up, you know, I'm a terrible when things break. My wife knows, my family knows. If something breaks, I get upset because I can't fix things. I can't fix things. I'm not a fixer. I don't know how to work on cars. I don't know how to do a lot of things. It's frustrating. And so I get really out of sorts when things break, you know? And why is that? I'm sure it's because, you know, my security is in stability of things, right? You know? And we just have our hope and faith in so many of the wrong things and in the wrong places. All right? So, what is hope? I've told you a lot about it already, you know? And what is he saying here? He's saying, don't, you know, the thing about wealth is it causes people to be prideful, doesn't it? He says, don't put your hope in that, you know, present world, not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, because it does produce pride. It does produce overconfidence, okay? I mean, confidence from God is a good thing, but confidence from your self-circumstances is not a good thing. It's arrogance. Whatever your self-circumstances, you know, being a self-made person, that's pride. That's pride. I know our, you know, American way teaches be a self-made person, you know. But it's pride. So don't put your hope in those things. You know, put your hope in God. These are temporary fixes, right? And our focus must be on God. He's the giver of all good gifts for our enjoyment. And not only that, here's the thing. Here's the key that is so important here, that we capture this. God is the giver of all good gifts for our enjoyment. But guess what? He wants us to take those good gifts and give them to others for their enjoyment. Right? Right? So, I mean, I could preach on about evangelism. I could preach on about making disciples. I could preach on about doing this and doing that, or just giving, just sharing, just being willing to share, ready to share. Because as God blesses you, He wants you to bless others. I love that pastor from Texas. I heard that message and it just came back to me. He said, if God can get it through you, He'll give it to you. You know? And it's a great way to say it, you know? But doesn't He have to do so much work on us to get things through us? And let's face it, most of the things in life, isn't it true the best things in life are free? Right? Not things you pay for. The things that are free, really, like your health generally, you know, and things that we rely on God for. So, where is your focus? Where is your help? And where is your hope? I hope you know it's in God. I hope you know it's in God. So what's now, what's next, and what's never ending? That's how I like to think about hope. It's in your bulletin there. What's now, what's next, and what's never ending? Right now, God is your hope if you know Christ. He is. The presence of Christ by the Holy Spirit is your hope right now. All right? And what's next? Paul talks about that in chapter 3. You can go home and look at that. We won't go there about he hopes to come to them, but if he doesn't, you know, he tells them what to do. There's a lot of things that are next for us, you know. We all have to figure out what's next for us in our life. But I can tell you, God is your hope to get you to what is next, you know. And I threw in a quote there from Ben Hogan, which I like. He, you know, was a great golfer. The most important shot in golf is the next one, you know. Because you can't do anything about all those shots you messed up before. You can't do a thing about them. So you have to move on to the next one. And you have to make that your most important shot. And then lastly, you know, hope calls us up and out toward God's never-ending best. Absolutely. God is calling us to so much more, y'all. He really is. He doesn't want our hope to be in the things of this world, because not only is it frustrating for us, it's frustrating for others around us. Ask my family, you know. But it's frustrating for others around us when we're not reaching out to them, when we're not sharing the gospel with them, when we're not giving our money and time to them, you know. So we have to be able to have a healthy hope in order to do what God wants us to do. Our faith, hope, and love are so critical to our lives. I would love to share more with you. I'd love to. I know we need to wind it down here, so I'm just going to recommend this book. I just came across it, A Spirituality of Fundraising by Henry Nouwen. Some of you may have seen this, read this. And I've never had the occasion to read it, or felt like I needed to read it, because I wasn't interested really in fundraising. So it came to me when somebody was asking us for money, actually. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I've really heard about that book. I'd like to read that. And I didn't realize there was so little. I can probably read that. And it is a short read. But I'll tell you what it did for me. It was like conversion all over. It's a money conversion book. It really helps you deal, because I have good friends, Christian friends, who, you know, we've talked about this whole issue of fundraising and all, which I know you folks are used to, because you don't have the cooperative program that us Baptists grew up on, you know, that you didn't have to ask for money. You just rely on the cooperative program, you know. But y'all are used to this kind of thing where people ask for money and depend on you for that. But this is really about just the need to trust God. You know, he's got a chapter in here. Where is your security? You know, so it's a great tool. Don't look at the title as it's about fundraising. It's about money. It's about and where we put our faith and our trust in the things of this world or in God. As we put our faith in God, again, back to the cross. You know, if we're really putting our faith in God, you know, it shouldn't be our faith should not be in anything else. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love us and that you are the one that has the perfect plan for us. And Lord, I confess that we just fail to see it. I fail to see it so much of the time. Lord, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart so that we can really see with clarity, Lord, your kingdom and your will. And Father, we know that you are the one who desires to give us good gifts. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more are you able to give good gifts to us if we ask? So, Lord, let us ask, and let us not ask amiss on our own selfish pleasures. Let us ask for those things that we really need that you want to give us, things that we don't even know we need, but you know. And Lord, we get so tied up with earthly things that we miss what you really want to give us. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to transform our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Technology. I want to share something real fast before I start the song. One of the many reasons the word family means so much to us. When our son was ill in the hospital, very, very serious illness, these folks drove a long way to see him. But I wanted to I think this was Weston. I don't know which one of you guys prayed for us in that room when Ricky was literally on life support. One of you guys, one of the boys, prayed that God would heal Ricky and that he would heal him in record time. I mean, quicker than the doctors, or surprise the doctors. I can't remember the exact wording, but it stuck in my mind, and I remember shaking my head saying, oh, what a sweet prayer for him to pray. He doesn't know God. God's got to move in God's time. You know, so as he gets older, he'll learn. You know, don't ask God for stuff like that. I just want him better, but in God's time. Well, Ricky got better in record time.
Yeah.
So that taught me, see, don't think you know God because you've known him a long time. Trust that God will answer prayer. God answered that prayer in record time. He surprised the doctors at how quickly he got well. So thank you for coming and praying that prayer. I think it was Weston and smiling. I think it was you. So never think you know God so well that you know what he's going to do, because you don't always. But you praise him because he works. This song I chose because I love coming here, and the folks here are ordinary people that God uses in extraordinary ways. He has done it for many, many years. The man that founded this place was an ordinary guy. And I just want to share this with you guys today. And I hope nobody calls me while I'm singing. It's been good. Like you and me, who are willing to do